I have an excuse. This was supposed to be Bridget's keynote. So I wrote this last night. I mean, this morning. but it's going to be great. Minus the fact that Bridget's talk was amazing, too. So observability in the era of the Cambrian explosion of technical complexity. How many of you were here last year? Wow, it's a new crowd. Well, I gave a keynote last year, which is why I'm totally stealing Hogan's spotlight. But I gave a talk about, it was like a spin-off of the Neal Stephenson book, Young Lady's Primer. But this was an illustrated primer to architectural and technical decision making. And basically, I was whining about how, like, the last time that I built infrastructure, it was easy, and now it's hard because there's so many choices. Like in 2012, you know, the time before this, like, my decisions are pretty easy. AWS, you know, Python or Ruby, you know, the religious debates, Red Hat or Debian or whatever. And in 2016, when I decided to start a company, it was paralyzing. I even drew an extremely scientific graph of complexity over time. Never gonna, that's always gonna be my favorite thing. It was very formative for me and my company, though. It didn't change the bones of what we had decided to build, but it changed everything about the way that we saw the need for it and the sense of urgency we felt. It went from a cool project to kind of like a burning mission. Let's just get it out of the way. Yes, I'm a software vendor now. You should trust nothing I say. Honeycomb is a tool for debugging and tracing and unpacking and understanding complex systems. It's not a monitoring tool. So it was based off of our time at Parse, where when we got acquired by Facebook, we had built what became an undebuggable tool. Like, it was an undebuggable platform. And we blah, 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 Scuba, Facebook, you know, scaffolding, whatever. It was a few years ago. I've been kind of massively obsessed with this problem ever since. But I do want to be clear that this is not a sales pitch. In fact, I'm not even going to talk about Honeycomb. You can get a demo from me later if you care. This is a cry for help. Like, this is about the set of problems that I'm kind of trying to somehow address with what we're doing, but we're not doing all of it. We can't. Like, this is going to take all of us because, like, the whole point of that talk was, like, look how easy it was in the good old days when we walked to school uphill through the snow, barefoot both ways. You know, we had to choose between Python and Perl and PHP. It was terrifying. And now we've got containers and all this stuff. But, like, if I was to, and here you can see how much time I had. My thing isn't forwarding. There we go. Wah. Play. I'm on it. It's another cry for help. If I was to draw a similar picture of, like, monitoring and analytics from 2016, well, okay, imagine in your mind, and it says, like, you know, Nagios, Ganglia, Graphite, you know, on the left, and on the right it's like, cool, PagerDuty, Datadog, you know, over here we had Splunk. We still have Splunk. Now we have Elk. Is that better? Not really. And I don't mean to say that these tools haven't improved. They have. They have improved incredibly. They're rich, powerful tools, but they have matured. They have matured, and that is a really big difference. And in a lot of ways, you can tell that this is an unsolved problem because there's a new startup every week, and I don't mean that figuratively, I mean literally. Like, my marketing guy who I just hired, he was, like, paying attention to this. Sorry, I'm super loud. I'm super loud anyway, but that's wrong with him. He was paying attention to this at SignalFX, and, like, he's, like, every week there's another startup that's in this space. And a lot of it is they're applying hacks, and not in a good way, but in the, like, for example, it is true that our leading open source option for dealing with logs now is now a full text search engine. The fuck? I'm not even digging them. I mean, that's kind of awesome in a terrible way. And there are some exceptions. There's Riemann, which I don't know how to use. As far as I can tell, nobody knows how to use it but Kyle. There's distributed tracing, which is great. Like, that's the exception that proves the rule. This is not disruptive. This is maturation. And if you're doing the same things to debug and understand and track down problems in a massively distributed system, or like microservices or something, as you did when you were debugging a simple web service on a few Linux boxes with a LAMP stack, maybe there's a better way. And I think, honestly, that I would diagnose this as we are stuck because we are thinking of this as a monitoring problem. And it's not. I think also that monitoring is largely a solved problem. It's just that we've taken that roll of duct tape and we're applying it like all over the place. Debugging systems are not a solved problem. And the patterns that we use when we're like, monitor everything. No! No, that's terrible. You should observe everything. You should have all of that information available to you when you go looking for it so that you can diagnose things. Monitoring everything is... It's linguistically closely related, but the behaviors that it inspire are very different. And this is why we are all still out there debugging by senior engineer. I was in my honeymoon. Parse is down. We're so sorry, but it's been 2 hours, and we don't know when we're going to get it back up. Will you please help? I'm like, I'm on the beach. I don't have my laptop. But I had to ask a few questions, and I'm like, it smells like Redis. And they're like, how can you tell? I'm like, I have no data, but I can just smell it. So... I think we can do better than debugging by intuition. I think that we should do less monitoring, a lot less. And we're not nearly doing enough instrumentation. We're not leaving enough breadcrumbs for ourselves, and we're not building the tools on top of the breadcrumbs. Here's where I get to throw a bomb or two. And I just want to say that like I'm somewhat hyperbolic by nature. I do not mean to, like, I'm not trying to diss any of these technologies that I may mention. By and large, I think they're wonderful. Well, I hate all computers, but like they're all in the same bucket of wonderful, horrible computers. We need less monitoring. We need less instrument. We need more instrumentation, more observability. We need S-trace for systems, which is really kind of what distributed tracing is trying to be. But like, I often find that 9/10 of the problem is what do I trace? Like, once I know what to trace, it's not a hard problem. But like being able to step through and like retry, you know, oh, there, fire off 100 there, you know. And this is nothing related to what Honeycomb is doing, so don't get excited, but somebody needs to do it. Like every dusty corner of these giant black boxes needs like its door flung open. I want tools that let me run GDB through my network. I want tools that let me pad TCP headers like on the fly and like set retransmits, you know. I want to be able to manually edit HTTP headers in flight. You know, we don't even have the building blocks for the kind of tooling that we're going to really need to understand these systems over the next 5 to 10 years. We need an IDE, frankly, for working in production. Like the way we went from using Vim to, well, whatever those of you who don't use Vim still use. But I hear they're great. Like they autocomplete variable names for you and shit. I don't know. Sounds good. Sounds cool. But it like nudges and guides without being prescriptive. Above all, it is not a dashboard. And again, I'll acknowledge the obvious that I'm building a tool. But dashboards are the fucking bane of my existence. They can die in a fire. I hate dashboards. Like, and people create so many dashboards because they don't trust their tools. You know, we've created so many dashboards, and they're all for understanding the last outage. Well, and all the outages for the last 2 or 5 or 10 years, they're still there, because whoever goes through and deletes dashboards, you might need that someday. They're profoundly overused. Dashboards should be for KPIs and your top-level metrics. That's basically it. They're your jumping-off point. There are two times when you should need to go debug a system. You look at your dashboards and you see something that's wrong. And like, let's dispel with the idea that there's never, in the history of humankind, has there ever existed a system that is up? Doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a, my system is fixed. Like, we all exist somewhere in the fuzz between mostly working and kind of working and not really working. You know, and there's never a thing that's completely down. So, how many of you have things out there that have happened in the last week that you looked at that and you went, oh, that might be something? put it under the rug. I'm totally going to get back to that. I'm going to go figure that out one of these days. Might be important. Well, but when you know from experience that the cost to you or your team of tracking those down is unbounded, it might just be nothing. It could take you hours, days, weeks, and at the end of that, you may or may not have an answer. That doesn't sound like fun. Also, dashboards suck because the more of them you have, the more you get this kind of dashboard blindness, where if you didn't craft it, it doesn't exist. The future has to be explorable. Like, we have to go from this method, this model where we pre-generate all this crap and then expect to debug it by scrolling with our eyeballs. We have to do what they do in every other field of data, which is they ask a question and then they iterate on it. What if I add this? What if I do that? Where does it take me? You know? And I feel like these are muscles that have just they've like wilted away because we haven't used them. And I understand why that we went to all this pre-digested, pre-computed, you know, time series buckets. It's because we got high traffic websites and resources were really expensive. Disks were really expensive, and RAM was ungodly expensive. We had to keep up with it. So we're like, let's just smoosh all the important details out and like roll it up into a thing and just like ship it. Well, if you're smushing away all the details, you don't know what you don't know. Well, you don't know what you don't know anyway, but you can get closer to it. We are like actively sabotaging all the tools that we once had for debugging our systems. Other things that are utterly inimical to the model of like event-driven debugging and asking questions, anytime you have to predict what columns you're going to need, run indexes on them. It hurts me physically every time I hear someone say, I'm using Splunk, it's great, I can only pay to have 3 indexes. I'm like, you're just running grep. Why are you paying millions of dollars a year for the privilege of running grep on your own logs? Indexes can't help you here, schemas can't help you here. Migrations, I talked to this team the other day and they're a great team. They're using a Postgres blob store, as you probably should for something. You know, you got this stuff that you don't know if it's all, but stick it in a blob, it's cool. And every time they decide one of those things is interesting, they do a migration to take it out of the blob and create a column and then index the column. Well, it takes somebody half a day. Global sampling rates. Some events are more important than others. You may want to sample your 200s at something not the same as you sample your 500s. Your queries. Don't even start. You guys want to know why we don't have any good tools for our databases? It's because of this. Because you have to have an event-based system for debugging a database. You have to have the raw query, the query family, the associated host, all of this data. This is an event. We call an event in computers. We don't have good event systems anymore. Stop trying to impose order ingestion. And start structuring your data. How many of you are like trying to lead like the structured data only? I know some of you are because like I Googled this like a year ago and there wasn't much about it. And I Googled it randomly recently and it's like there are like 2 or 3 pages of stuff published in the last couple of months. People are like, yeah, structured data is the best. Like, how are we still doing string processing in the server side? This is mind-blowing. Like, it's so expensive. You wonder why this is expensive. It's because, well, first of all, you don't actually trust that you have, like, yesed your strings right, correctly so. So you always have to store the raw record, and then the decomposed record, and then, you know, you have to store each one of the ones, again, for the right amplification of all those indexes, and then you got your replication. You're storing this piece of data like 50 times. No wonder it's expensive. Structuring your data is not even harder, right? It's just a habit. Like making people write out a JSON blob instead of the string. It's super easy. And then you have it already in the structure, and you can do all these really cool, efficient things. And maybe you're going, well, how do we pay for this? Like, nothing is free. And yes, that's true. You sacrifice your string processing, also known as the thing that is constantly getting congested on the server side. and taking down everything. It's 2017, dude. Stop at the server-side strings. So the old model was, you know, you can be as chaotic as you want on the client, and we will make sense of it on the server side with schemas. And the new model has to be structured at the source and flexible on the server side. So all of you out there who are going, I have an idea for a startup. Cool. And the future must be event-driven. Event-driven debugging, or as the rest of scientists call it, debugging. Dude, you ask like any other kind of engineer, like, what's a metric? And they just kind of look at you like, huh? Oh, you know the thing in an event? You know, the one piece of the dot of data without all of the relationships to all the other dots of data? I'm like, oh, why would you do that? Events are richer, and they contain more relationships between data points. And I'm not trying to say that events are, like, the metrics aren't good. Like, obviously, metrics are more performant. They do counters. You know, there are some things. But I think that what we're doing right now is, like, you know, and I do believe, for what it's worth, every mature system is going to want to have a source of metrics and a source for events. But right now, it's, like, 80-20 metrics to events. And over the next 5 years, that's going to be reversed. It's going to be 20-80. You're going to want to need a damn good reason to not put it in your events. Single node debugging. Dude, this has come so far over the last, you know, 10 years, and this is what I love, right? So it pains me to say that this is irrelevant. That's a little too harsh. Like, I love Sysdig. Like, I can spend just a weekend curled up in bed, you know, with a mug of cocoa and some brandy and some Sysdig. Like, it's super fun to me. It's not the useful thing to do. It's not useful unless you can aggregate it. Unless you can just like take that output and put it into something that's system-wide. Because you shouldn't have to care about a host, right? Cross-platform, cross-service. Yeah. Right. Question mark. The future is about systems, not nodes. And that goes for teams, too. Every team has their favorite tool. And people spend more time arguing about the nature of reality based on what their tool is telling them than they do the actual problem, often. All right, maybe y'all are from Google, Facebook, whatever, and you're like, well, I don't. No, I've been there. You just have different tools. So now we have this how many of you are from, like, big companies, self-reportedly so? Huh, cool. Not that many. I'd say, like, 20%. So how do we tease insights out of this, right? Now that we have a mess of data, how do we make sense of it? And if you're raising your hand and saying predictive analytics, anomaly detection, machine learning, okay, if you're from Google, you get a pass. For most of us, those things are cool. Like, we definitely want to write cooler algorithms, and there's a lot of good stuff that we can do. But, like, often when I see this, and now that I'm a startup founder, I get asked to evaluate other startups. It's worth becoming a founder just to get to do that. They're all like, I predict the future. I'm like, tell me how you do this. I'm so curious. And they're like, I map what happened yesterday over what's happening today. And last week over this week, and this month, last month over this month, and last year over this year, and I can tell you when your things are going to break. I'm like, okay. But even for people who are like doing really hardcore computer science, there's something we haven't really mastered yet, which is like ourselves and each other. Like, if I was to tell you, a nice person in the red shirt, looking at your watch, going, God, how long is she going to rant about this shit? If I was to pick on you and be like, what data would you rather look at? What my computer thinks you should look at? Or what one of the people that you work with every day thinks you should look at? And you're on call. Which would you choose? You'd be pretty dumb to choose my computer. I would assume that you would choose your, you know. But, like, we lose our history. We don't even know how to keep track of the things that we learned last week yet. Where's our bash history for our, you know, data dogs and stuff? Where's our shared team stuff? So that, like, I can see, you know, well, you know, I'm on call. It's 2 a.m. I'm getting paged about Cassandra. Didn't, like, Ben have something to do like this, like, 2 weeks ago when he was on call at, like, 3 a.m.? What graphs did he post to Slack? You know, what things did he try and rule out? What notes did he lose? Did he, like, have a post-mortem? Like, these things should not require spelunking. They should be easy. This is, like, the richest source of wisdom you have is what did you get paged about in the past, and how can you use it in the future? Like, your history, my history, like, the additive sum of our history, and then you get, like, heat maps, you know? What if these things are problems? Like, as a manager, I think the best use of my time was writing scripts to analyze what was happening for my teams. Like, what was happening to my people? What were they getting alerted about? What was recurring? Was there a periodicity to any of this stuff, you know? But, like, that's, like, 30% of my job on a good week, and it would be nice if my tool just, like, did that for me, and this isn't even hard. It's just, like, remove the barriers to the things that I already know I want to do and everyone else wants to do, too. And we can draw on these really cool things about humans, which is that we're really nosy. We want to know these things. This is how we learn. 2 minutes? God. Okay. Well, we want to learn and we want to perform for each other, you know? And if you make a thing where the people who love generating these graphs have more impact, they'll use it even more. I'm not one of those people. I'm really good, though, at bookmarking the things that those people generate, adding tags, and then the next thing happens, I jump straight to, like, 85-95% of the way to start solving my problem. Well, any computer can tell you that there's a spike. Only a human being can impose a narrative on it. Figuring anything out for the first time is really expensive. Sharing is really cheap. Like, I was joking I should start a social network for, like, bugs. And, well, that is kind of what we're doing, so. The future must be human-centered. Life is all about trading for a different set of problems, a better set of problems. And this new set of problems has to require you interrogating your systems, learning to ask questions. And I would refer you to this brilliant blog by John Allspa, if you haven't read it, where he talks about how, stop telling me that your computers are going to understand my machines and fix them for me. Tell them how you're going to make my humans better. And finally, the first great wave of DevOps was like, all right, ops people, learn to code. Be real engineers. I know, I'm coming. That was great. But, like, the next great wave is software engineers. You have to know how to manage your services. And the tools that we currently have are actively hostile to this. You have to understand this giant submerged iceberg of infrastructure to roll out a goddamn metric. Like, that's not okay. No wonder they're grumpy. The future belongs to those that are software engineering native. SDKs. It should feel like a comment, adding a metric. And to recap, in 10 seconds or less, in a glorious future, we have to build tools and scaffolding for loosely coupled, far-flung, chaotic architectures. We have to encourage sampling vertically to control costs and keep everything horizontally because you don't know what you don't know and you don't know what you're going to need. Tools for silos are anti-future. Tools that do deep dive debugging, if you don't wrap it into the larger narrative, they're useless. Our tools must be human-centered and focused on general software engineers because in the future, ops and DBAs aren't going away, but we're on the other side of an API. We have a lot of build, so I'm going to get out of here.